Another Live at 5 Sports brought to you by Prairie's Edge Casino Resort. We visit with Jim Suhan of the Star Tribune and Talk North podcast here on this segment. And Jim, as we're doing this, everybody excited about the home opener today. It's a 3:10 first pitch, and you're going to be over there at Target Field. Is this kind of an annual thing for you to attend the opener?
You know, it's varied. There's a time when I went to the road opener, the home opener, pretty much all the Twin stuff. Now we have more columnists. We divide things up a little bit more, so we don't travel as much as we used to. So instead of being in Kansas City last week, I'll cover the opener today, and looking forward to it. Although I know I'm a bit of a contrarian. I know people accuse me of that, and it's actually true. But my favorite day of the baseball season is day two. Day one is when everybody comes out who, you know, thinks the game's a big deal, and it's ceremonial, it's pomp and circumstance, it's fun to celebrate baseball returning, but it's not a big game, it's just another game. And day two is when the people who actually like baseball come to the ballpark.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, New Year's Eve is amateur's night, right?
Exactly, yes. That's a great analogy.
You know, I was listening to Dan Gladden on my way home yesterday, and boy, he was kind of sounding down at the mouth with the Twins' lack of hitting, but suddenly in the seventh inning, those bats came alive.
Yeah, I mean, early season, analyzing hitting, I always have to remind people, we're five games in, right? Correspond this to the NFL season, we'd be like maybe early second quarter of the first game. So what has happened matters, but it is no way defining. This team was a great hitting team second half of last year. They third in league in home runs, and until Jeffers hit a home run yesterday, they'd hit one home run in five games and hadn't hit one since the first inning of the first game. That's not good, but it's also not going to continue.
And, you know, Kirilloff, too, getting four hits, I mean, that's got to be encouraging.
Yes, they've been waiting for him since about 2020. They really thought he was going to be an immediate impact player. He's had hand injuries, wrist injuries. He's had stretches where he just didn't look like he was ready for the big leagues. But the approach is there. The swing is there. The talent is there. If he stays healthy, he could be one of those, you know, surprise players who lifts the entire lineup.
Yeah, kind of like a Miranda was a couple years ago, maybe.
Right. Well, yeah, yes, very much so. Miranda had a very good rookie year. The difference is that Kirilloff really was a top prospect, and they really did think he was going to be a star. Miranda was more of a surprise. You know, Kirilloff they counted on for a long time, and it does happen this way in baseball sometimes. Sometimes when you're about ready to give up on somebody, that's when they show up.
Yeah. Well, I know we speculated maybe with the Raptors being so shorthanded, I didn't realize they'd have as many guys in street clothes as they did, that the Wolves could rest some of their main men, and Mike Conley did sit out the game. But, you know, Ant seemed to kind of play himself out of his kind of mini slump that he was in.
He did. It looks like Finch played it right. He got Conley some rest, and he got Ant in a situation where he could take some less pressurized shots and kind of get his form back, and he looked good. So good night. And you know what? It really, for a team that's in a daily grind like they've been all season, it's a really good, healthy thing to have a blowout win where you can have fun on the bench and play your bench players and relax a little bit.
Yeah, and you know, a franchise, now this obviously wasn't that team last night, but that's kind of owned the Timberwolves are the Raptors, and I'm sure, you know, there wasn't all that many tears shed that they were able to blow them out.
I honestly don't think that Wolves care one way or another about any of that. They have their eyes on the standings. They have their eyes on seeding. They want to play well. They want to stay healthy. They couldn't care less about the Raptors right now.
The Phoenix Suns await the Wolves. I actually switched over to that game last night, and they were blowing out the Cleveland Cavaliers. This is kind of a dangerous Phoenix team when they're playing like they are right now.
The top 11 teams in the West are all dangerous. That's how good this conference is right now. You know, you can say, okay, man, you want that number one seed, but what if the number one seed ends up you play the Lakers when they're on a hot streak, you know? You want the number two seed. Okay, well, maybe you end up with Phoenix with Durant and Booker getting hot. What if you end up the third seed? Now you might be facing Dallas or New Orleans, both of whom are just impossible to guard. I mean, there are no good matchups. So, you know, play for the first seed because it would be a great thing, but you know, let's not pretend we know what the matchups are going to look like.
And expect a war, whoever you end up playing,
yes.
I think. Yeah. Well, the Gopher women have made it all the way to the WNIT championship. Have they announced yet where the site is going to be?
Not that I've seen. It'd be fun if they brought it to Williams Arena. I don't know if they're willing to do that or not. But this is a good stretch. You know, this is a, you know, sometimes we don't really, we almost downgrade the NIT because, and the WNIT, because we know it's the lesser tournament and so many teams make the real NCAA tournament that you're talking about teams that generally have not had a good season. But this is a good thing for them. Amaya Battles really stepped forward last night. Grahalski, a freshman, ends up making clutch baskets in a pressurized game. You know, Heyer and Hart played well. It's got given Nia Holloway a little more playing time. I mean, this has been a nice development for that program.
You know, and a lot of people, I kind of forgot about the game and didn't watch it, but they mentioned, you know, you could see the contrast, though, just the skill level of, you know, those two teams last night next to, you know, the two or four we're going to watch tomorrow night.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's obviously no comparison between – we're talking about great women's basketball teams at a time when the game has never been better. So for them to get to the Final Four, they have to be great right now. And the Gophers are trying to become a middle-of-the-pack, maybe make the NCAA tournament kind of team. It's just a different, you know, it's, you really can't compare the two levels right now. The Gophers, of course, hope to someday get up there, but you got to have, you know, this is pretty good evidence. You got to have a player like, you got to have a great player. You got to have a Beckers or a Clark, or you have to have a dynastic program. Or I guess the exception is NC State kind of snuck in there. But, yeah, you can't really compare anybody to Caitlin Clark and Paige Beckers right now.
You know, when the Gophers did have that Final Four team, you know, you had Lindsay Whalen. And, I mean, at the time, she was one of the real special players, you know, at her position.
She was great. And Gino Auriemma, I remember I've talked to him about that. He was game planning for playing her, and he's like, she's going to be a star in the WNBA. We need to realize how good she is.
Yeah. Well, the Wild, I mean, they're literally, you know, we're operating on fumes right now. They really have no margin for error. What about tonight's game with the Avalanche? Shot at maybe staying alive yet, I guess?
I mean, they're 8 points back or whatever. They have to pass two teams. They've got eight games left. They do have a game in hand over the other two. So if they win tonight, you know, maybe you put some pressure on those teams. Maybe you have a chance. They really need it. They need to win. I mean, it's, you know, I always caution people, say must win early in the season, say no, there's no such thing as a must win earlier midway through the season. Now we're at a point where, yes, they need to win this to stay within range.
Well, kind of the big news in the NFL certainly was the trade of Stephon Diggs to Houston, where I would think he should be happy to land right now.
Yes, second time he's forced a trade with misbehavior and being a jerk, and it's pretty significant, pretty much tells you where he is, his stock is, that basically got traded for a second-round draft pick, and the Bills are willing to take a $31 million cap hit just to get rid of him when they don't have either number one or number two receiver right now, because they lost Gabe Davis in free agency. So you've got to really be a jerk for them to trade you for this under these circumstances. Of course, Diggs wins because he gets to go play with C.J. Stroud and what looks like it might be a great Houston team.
Now, was that kind of the same scenario with the Vikings, do you think, that he was not a good teammate? Or I guess I hadn't heard a whole lot about that.
Yes, he pretended he had a cold. He stopped showing up for things. He started complaining to coaches, started complaining on the sideline. He forced that trade. And honestly, Rick Spielman did very well under those circumstances. He got a number one pick, and he turned into Justin Jefferson. That was so it was a win for Diggs, but it was also that was a big win for the Vikings.
Right. Well, I see where the voters in the Kansas City area said not so fast on these new stadiums. You know, sometimes it isn't that easy to get a new stadium built, as we found out here.
Well, if the Chiefs can't get one as popular as they are in Kansas City in the Midwest, it tells you that I just think that I don't know if I want to go down this road. We have increasingly become a country of wealth inequality. And I think the average voter is looking at billionaires who've gotten tax cuts and are making all – we know what kind of profits they're making in the NFL and in pro sports right now. And, listen, I do think you need to have some kind of partnership with a city, county, or state. So if something happens to the owner's wealth or their inheritance, their inheritors are not stuck with, you know, a white elephant. But you know, just asking for $1 billion to build a new stadium in this day and age is probably going to be difficult.
Well, and as we know, then when it's constructed, then how the value of the franchise goes up. I mean, you know, the owners have to share in that. I mean, there's no
they
doubt.
Should.
Well, Jim, great catching up with you. Enjoy the game today, and we'll chat again tomorrow.
Great, thank you, Bill.